Good morning, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Chris.
All right, so here is our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice. Today, have a focus on gratitude for what you have. And here is our first caller. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Chris and Ashwini, it's Ann calling from the Bay Area. Good morning.
Hey, Ann.
Or afternoon or evening,
wherever people are.
Exactly. I wanted to call in. I love this day. This is one of my favorite days, as, you know, to have gratitude. And I just was so struck yesterday on the call. I was so grateful to be a member of the Sangha and to listen to everybody who had called in, and particularly when Jill was talking about her practice of buying something and eating only part of it and then throwing it away. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden I just got hit with so many beliefs and assumptions that I had never seen before. And if she hadn't called in and shared that, I don't know if I ever would have seen it. And then I just started thinking about all the times people have shared that have so helped me in my practice. And I was just so moved and grateful for everybody's practice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is gratitude for what we have, right, Anne, in a very specific and particular way, which is if we do this work together, if we're walking as Sangha, there's so much that is given in the participation of everybody in sharing their practice. We often feel like we don't count, but when we get out there and put our practice out for everyone to listen to, everybody benefits. I mean, we say it. It sounds so trite to say it, right? Unless you're having that experience which you just talked about, which is, oh, my God, I had all of these beliefs and assumptions that I would not have seen if this person had not called in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
Well, it's such a celebration of interconnectedness.
Yeah.
That's what I experience in that, right? Everybody is everybody, and somehow the other being a somebody in your unique way is how you affect and change and assist and support everyone else.
Yes, and when you were saying, you know, that feeling of I'm not worthy, and of course, I mean, we're all one, and so what I thought when you were reflecting that is that, wow, it's that place that's most compassionate for all, because the most compassionate thing I can do is participate for myself, right? But there is no myself. The most compassionate thing I can do is participate, and that is an offering to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's an offering to everyone. It's so hard to put it into words because we have to constantly parse the self that's ego and the self that's life with a capital S, right? And so, yes, there's a way in which everything is all suchness, and suchness appears in all of these forms. And when we're true to that, there's such a giving and receiving that puts us in that place of just awestruck with gratitude that we can see that and feel the non-separation.
Yeah, and I was just thinking of how ego will come up with that. Well, what difference does it make? And to realize that my presence, well, again, there we have our presence, our participation, each person's presence, each person's participation makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Each person's presence and participation makes a huge difference, and we could expand that to say presence makes such a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. Right? We can just take out the person.
Yes,
person. Well, participating in presence makes a huge difference.
Huge difference. And then you can bring the person in the perspective that we're talking about, because a person is just a unique presence.
Yes, yes. And what a celebration to honor and celebrate each unique expression of presence.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
The thing that was dropping in, Anne, when you were talking about that, is that they are called the jewels, right? Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. And we keep saying that we couldn't do this by ourselves, and the Buddha left us with all three. And the jewel of the Sangha is the visceral experience of interconnectedness and the direct experience that we're completely supported by the intelligence that animates, and we're called by that into being.
Oh, man, that's beautiful. Beautiful. And I just want to share one other thing, because I know I'm sure tons of people want to talk about what they're grateful for. Just specifically in terms of the focus for this month, food. I was in the kitchen at work yesterday making a salad, and somebody came in and said something, oh, that looks good, or that looks healthy. I don't know what he said. Somebody who doesn't work there. And I said, oh, yeah, I make a salad for myself every day. And he goes, oh, do you have to? And I just thought, wow. I was like, wow. I mean, just a different perspective of having to eat healthy being a burden because you have to, versus wanting to eat healthy because it's a delight and it supports the body. And I mean, I just had this moment of, I'm so grateful. I want to do this.
Mm-hmm. And I get to.
And I get to. So that, and again, it takes me back to gratitude for Sangha, because all of the training that we receive is to do what's most compassionate for all, including the body, and to get to a place where I want to sit, not I have to sit or I should sit or I have to eat healthy or I should eat healthy, but I want to. That is a gift of practice as well that I'm just so grateful for.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying that. Right, Anne, because it's such an important point. It's that it's the way that ego robs the joy of being present, right?
Yeah.
Which is to say, it's a burden to do the things that makes me an expression of life.
Right? Yes, it's back to, I don't know whether it was on the, there's so many practice opportunities, I don't know where I heard this, either on Project Joy or on the radio show, where we get to be, or maybe it was on a reflective listening buddy call, that we get to be excited about being alive. We get to be excited about participating each day. Kind of like somebody else was talking on one of the calls about, oh my God, I have to deal with my air conditioner in my condo, and it broke.
Yeah.
And but you know, that's life, and how wonderful that we get to participate, rather than seeing it as a burden.
Mm-hmm. Yes, to live in the excitement of being alive rather than the burden of what I have to do because it's in my life.
So thank you to everyone who participates in this. Is such a gift, and I'm so appreciative that I get to, oh well, it gets received, but there again, the personality. But anyway, it's wonderful.
Thank you so much. So much gratitude for your call, Anne.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thank you, Anne. And Ashwini, what was dropping in for me was that image of the geese flying in a V formation.
Mm-hmm.
And how, and this Anne talking about, you know, somebody saying something and it just gets in behind whatever belief systems that I have, and then I get completely excited about seeing something new, and there I am in the 10th position in the V, and that's the point at which that energy just kind of propels me up to that, I'll lead the pack for a little while here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take my turn out in front and put this energy out in front of the whole Sangha and, take care of myself and all of life in doing that. So,
The thing that drops in for me around that, especially what Anne was talking about and the image of the geese, right, Chris, is that there is such an egalitarian world. Everybody has a place and everybody counts and everybody does their part. And that is our interconnectedness is recognizing and playing that out, that we all are part of life. And our very presence is, and it is existence, right? And that conditioned perspective that denies that, that negates that all the time. Yeah, it's to let that go and then just relax into this is what I am, what mm-hmm. is, and what is through me in this moment in
yeah.
time.
Yeah, exactly. And how, whatever position I'm in that V, conditioning might want to call that a role of some sort or another, or something along those lines, and then define that for us and try to keep us in that place. And I think part of what you're pointing at is, no, we just switch roles whenever we're guided to by life from whatever
mm-hmm.
position
yeah.
we're in to out in front or in the, towards the back. And, you know.
Right.
And the other thing
yeah,
with that was, well, go ahead, Shishwini.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Just that whole notion of how each of us, you know, the way we're each conditioned individually, that there's a certain pattern of attention that results from that, which keeps a lot of what conditioning is doing below the surface. And then along comes another member of another Sangha person and essentially provides a different vantage point from us. So it kind of kicks us out of that typical pattern of attention and into a place where we wouldn't, like we talked about, we really may not have had the opportunity to go on our own. And mm-hmm. it's just such a grand and glorious experience to
mm-hmm.
kind of
mm-hmm.
to be participating yeah. with not expecting anything, and then just to have those moments of grace as they happen.
Yeah. 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 That reflect something we have not seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Opens mm-hmm. up a door for us in some way. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's check in with our next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Chris and Ashwini. This is Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi. Funny that I haven't gotten on for some time, and then I was on open air earlier. So it's great. It's great to connect, and as you all were just saying. So what I've noticed about the shift of attitude is how grateful I am for the practice and the possibility that my default state of mind or my default presence of mind actually is to go to a place of gratitude rather than to fall into conditioned patterns. And that's just such a blessing that I feel like we're all receiving from this constant contact and from our continuous practice, that we're training and we're feeling the results.
Yes, another glorious place, right? Greta, if I'm following what you're saying, there is a way in which you're aware of how the default orientation has shifted to gratitude, that the training, the showing up, the willingness to put ourselves in a practice context and do the work is starting to have results in such tangible ways where instead of feeling, I don't know, feeling bad or feeling negated or feeling any of those other things that an ego orientation results in, there's the feeling of, oh, I'm really grateful. And that is a shift in perception, which sort of it's ever-expanding faith and devotion, right? Because what we do is what we have. And we're so grateful when that works.
Yeah, exactly. And our ability to step back into that expanded awareness, maybe one way or another, when we're not in a place of appreciation or when we're not feeling present, we can look to see what's going on there. You know, we have all these tools to see what's happening. We don't have to just get sucked down into the rabbit hole. Not to say we won't fall into the well, but we just have so much more guidance, I think, and maybe, like you're saying, that ever-expanding faith that we want to stay with life. We don't want to mm-hmm. fall into that hole. We want to stay with mm-hmm. life. And that just feels like what you were talking about with the previous caller, just how we're all this expression and life wants to express. So we see that possibility of letting life express instead of clamping it down by going to conditioning.
You're making a really important point, right? And this is the reason to record and listen or to do awareness practice, which is to train ourselves in awareness. Because the more I train myself to recognize when I'm in conditioning, the more awareness that there is in an identification. Because part of what happens is I fall into the hole and then I believe the hole is real. But not knowing that the hole is a hole that I've fallen into is transformed by a practice of awareness, which allows us to recognize the whole as I'm approaching it, as I'm in it, as I get out of it, right? And so it drops in. Oh, I'm identified. There's gratitude for the knowing of that, the tool that I can use to have a shift in attention. And the process of being in a practice environment of that willingness to put myself there also reinforces that thing you're pointing to, right? Which is my highest goal, my highest intention in life is to be with life, not to be in the hole. So everything I put my attention on is to get out of the hole. And all of it is such a place of intense gratitude because it's the freedom from suffering.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And in so many ways we can have that experience in a day. There's just so many aspects of moving through life, and so many times our attention is shifting, and we have to be there for it because the whole is also always
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Go happy, Greta.
Go happy.
Gratefully.
Gratefully, yes.
Thank you, Greta. And Ashwini, I'm going to move us along to the next caller. Hold still. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Chris and Ashwini. It's Todd calling from Kelowna, British Columbia.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, I so resonated with the first caller about gratitude for Sangha and that experience of interconnectedness and getting so much out of each person's participation and sharing their process. It's really been transformative for me and participating in these year-long retreats. Just that opportunity of daily recording the assignment and then participating in the radio show and then listening to my recordings throughout the day. Has really been deepening practice for sure. Yeah.
That daily consistent focus, not just on it's all of it, right? It's all three jewels at the same time. Here I am with Sangha, able to share in the process of practice and the participation of everybody, and then I get a teaching and I practice with that in order to see the truth.
Oh,
it's
that's
delicious.
Huge, yeah. Delicious. It's delicious. And I took an encouragement from a Sangha member last week who he said he's going to take the mentor. I have actually sickening dread when I have to go shopping for food because I get in such a conditioned conversation about am I worthy of buying high-quality, organic, produce and vegetable, ingredients. And he said, I'm taking a mentor shopping with me and have that, conscious compassionate awareness to choose those items. And I've been making daily recordings. That's my daily practice now, is to make recordings to counter that conversation of, I'm not worth it. It's too expensive. Organic foods are a scam. They're not, more nutritious than conventional foods. They don't steward the planet. And that is just all lies, constant lies that I buy into. And I buy cheap, conventional produce that is, factory farmed, and it's not probably nutritious, but it's cheap. I'm getting away from it, but I still get bogged down in that process. And shared a group, expressed this process recently. I think it was on Open Air, and she said, "Okay, what else? What are you going to spend your money on? What else are you going to spend your money on?"
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like a con, like, "Oh, yeah, right," you know.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and so there is that. It's such a beautiful process place, right, Todd? Because it's how do I approach anything in my life with conscious, compassionate awareness,
right,
and see through the beliefs and assumptions that keep me in suffering?
Yes.
So are you ever going to know whether organic is good or bad, or whether food is nutritious or not? It's such as you said, there's no ability to know. Unless I am, because if I believe anything, I don't have a direct experience of it. I'm only consulting a conditioned process. And so I have to do this, not I have to, I get to do this with something that's kind and wise and very appropriate to the moment, right?
Yeah.
And then, not just in the acquisition of the food or the vegetable, but in the preparation of it, in the eating of it.
Mm.
And it's a curiosity that allows me to have a relationship with my aliveness, right?
I love
and
that.
Transforms
yes.
it from a shopping expedition to, this is a life force. All of these things that I consume are manifestations of life forces.
Yeah.
Where can I find the perfect match to nourishing that?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different orientation. And what you said was so critical, that the relationship, the experience that all of it is life, that there's a universe and a bite of bread, is that voice that says, you're not worthy of all of the riches that life can give you. So I'm stuck. I'm required to frame the problem as it's too. So I'm going to be cheap with my nourishment because the value of you is equal to that, right?
Yeah.
That's the equation we're living in. You're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not worth spending anything on.
Yeah.
Not, oh my God, Todd, you are a manifestation of the entire universe. How can we work out what choice foods in the universe to offer to you?
Yes. Oh, wow. I'm just floored by that reflection of what you just stated. Because, and what just kept dropping in as you're saying that was, and it's that experience of that interconnectedness that was discussed earlier. Everything is so interconnected, and conditioning is just constantly campaigning for that separation.
For limitation, right?
Yes, limitation, and parsing out
separation
everything.
Separation through limitation, exactly as you're talking about. So let's boil down this entire notion of life feeding life and life nourishing life to a debate about whether or not something is, you could put a dollar value on thought life.
Yes,
not even
that's exactly
life
it.
On a life of a vegetable.
Yeah, exactly. Oh wow, yeah, that's so powerful. I gotta download this recording and listen to it over and over and over again.
It's interesting. Finance and food come together because it's the same process. You're not what is worth, what is value, right?
Yes. Well, that's funny you say that, because I noticed the intermingling of all these monthly focuses of self-care, food, finance and money, relationship, all of them are now kind of weaving themselves in, and that's what I've been really seeing, is that you're right. The underlying process is the same, even though monthly the content changes.
Right. Exactly so. And the underlying process that we're unearthing is ego. It is scarcity and negation of life
deprivation.
Force, right?
And deprivation. Deprivation and worth. Yeah, and worthiness, right.
And worthiness.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful to be able to even have a glimpse of all this. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Gratitude for being able to glimpse it.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Todd. And I'm, with the two of you, just grateful for being able to glimpse it in that way. And that seemed like such a beautiful example of how to take any issue that I might have that I'm aware of, and then to set up a framework for the workshop that will reveal, you know, how I'm being kept captive in that place, you know, mm-hmm. where the freedom lies in it, the attitude of mind that really will produce the kind of awarenesses that will make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And that's why we do it together, right? Because when we're caught in the limitation, there is no reflection of the grandeur. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we provide for each other. Mirrors
that opening that, to that. Yeah.
Yeah, that reflect the awareness perspective, not the conditioned perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then in that, no shoulds, no requirements, mm-hmm. nothing about it, but just a entirely open investigation, experimentation. No, yeah. It's very mm-hmm. good. All right. Looks like we've got time for one more. So next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Chris. Hello, Sherry. Or Sherry. Sorry, Ashwini. Hello, Ashwini. Hello, Sangha. what dropped in for me while we've been talking about this is that conditioned, at least for me, my experience is that conditioning has to work in isolation. And that I love the Sangha so much because whenever I'm with the Sangha, I mean, conditioning can be there. It absolutely requires a separate self. And that had been my experience for years. And now that becoming more involved with Sangha, it just always feels like when I'm listening, when I'm there's that sense of us and we. And conditioning has a much more difficult time convincing me that there's only an I. So, yeah. And I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, I really love that. It's a great, great thing to share.
Yes. Well, that's so beautifully stated, right, Brian? Because what you're saying is the conditioned orientation is an isolation, is isolation. And so the counter to that is to constantly reinforce the experience of togetherness and belonging and us and we. And so it's such a fabulous counteract to it doesn't matter why we get together, it doesn't matter what we talk about, but the process I put myself into allows me to have the experience of the truth of existence rather than the lie.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well said. I really appreciate the fact that I can be with other people who let me know that I'm not by myself, that, you know, that conditioning is there. Because when I'm with other people and they're talking about that state of conditioning, and I'm like, everybody who calls in is just basically me. When I'm in presence and I'm listening, I go, yeah, I understand it. Almost everything anybody says, I'm like, yeah. Because it's real and it's true and it's happening to us, not me. And conditioning just loves it when it's just happening to the I. It's like, well, you know, it's just you and I, and then there's the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I appreciate it so much to have this opportunity to be with people.
Right. Oh, and that's such a nuanced observation, right, Brian? Because what you're saying is, I've never seen it like that, which is, as long as I am with Sangha, in the setting where we're looking at ego, another way I know it's not me is that the similarity of experience is true for everybody. So there's a way in which we can see that it's not happening to me, it's happening to us, really universalizes the process of ego rather than personalizes it, which is what ego tends to do as a way to maintain that isolation you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. And I love that observation, the idea that, because, I mean, that's one of the things that keeps me always connecting, because I know it's this frame of reference that I don't have if I'm isolated. In fact, I can't have it if I'm isolated. That's why it's so valuable to go on retreats and do the radio show and listen, and because there's that connection with others. And I love it so much, and I really appreciate everybody who makes this work.
Yes, and if I may, Brian, what we're pointing to is that the world is not a place that is isolationist. Everything, our direct experience of being alive is everything is interconnected, right?
Right.
And so that ego place is such a lie, and the lie is so complete. It is ignorance. I ignore everything else that is the truth of life itself when I'm in that perspective. And as you said, there's no way out of that perspective until something or the universe comes knocking to say, where you are, that's not real.
Right.
There's no access to that inside that place. And to have the experience and the knowledge that isolation is not what I'm going for, I want to live in the truth of the interconnectedness. And one of the ways I can do that is to invite the experience by putting myself in the experience and then doing that. That's what this practice offers us that we're so grateful for.
Yeah, we can't know the future, and we can't rely on the past, but we can trade laterally. So being with people, we're trading off that lateral ball back and forth, and we're like, yes, this is real. And I really appreciate so much, I say this over and over, the opportunity to do that, because I don't know if, I mean, I'm sure people do it, but I mean, it makes so much more sense to do it with others.
Mm-hmm.
There's such a beauty and a feeling that comes with that. But
And others in the privileged environment, because that brings that level of difference, right?
Yes, and that really intensifies that whole experience, because it's really hard to be afraid in that environment of anything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's an amazing environment. It really is. I love it to no end. So, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for everything you've done. And Kristen, Sangha, hi. Ashwini, you have a great day.
All right. You too, Brian. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Thank you, Bye. Brian. Ashwini, that was quite beautiful.
It was, wasn't it?
End of another fabulous show. And so our assignment for today, do your daily practice. It's time to celebrate. How are you going to do that? Alone, with a partner, with a friend, with a crowd, with a party? Have a celebration.
Mm.
All right, well, I'm in the mood.
I'm in the mood too, yes.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, Ashwini, and thanks, everyone. And
thank you, Chris.
Go
Take
happy.
Care, go happy.
All right, bye-bye.